I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. Every week, we visit with a diverse group of parents for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. This week, we touch on a sensitive topic that's getting quite a bit of buzz. The question is, does being a parent make people less happy? That's the question at the heart of a recent article for New York Magazine titled All Joy and No Fun, Why Parents Hate Parenting. The story revealed that while many parents say children bring joy into their lives, research suggests that kids are just as likely to bring stress and conflict. And in fact, parents might be less happy than their childless or child-free peers. To tell us more about that, we've called the author of the article, Jennifer Senior, but also with us are our Tell Me More parenting regulars, Jolene Ivey, Leslie Morgensteiner, and Danny Tucker. Welcome, ladies, moms.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
Pleasure to be here.
Hey, Michelle.
Jennifer, of course, we're going to start with you. That's quite a provocative title. And I can just see from the response, I mean, there's something like 400 comments, 13,000 recommends on the website already. So I wanted to know first what motivated you to write this and what does the research say?
The reason I chose to do this, I know everybody wants me to say that it's because I had a kid and was suddenly miserable, but that's not in fact what exactly happened. I had been looking at, you know, the research for a while about what made people happy and what didn't. And I always knew that one of the chestnuts in this particular body of literature was that kids made you less happy. And when I first stumbled across this fact, I didn't have any. But I couldn't really think it through until I had a child. And once I did, I thought it would be, you know, interesting to examine it. But that's how I started on it.
We could have a whole separate conversation about happiness and what happiness is. But just for the purposes of this conversation, what is happiness and what does the research show?
Right. Okay. So the research essentially shows this. Pretty much across the board, whether you're looking in the field of economics, sociology, or psychology, and also in relationship research, tends to say that your happiness levels go down, your, you know, well-being, your satisfaction levels go down if you have children. Your marriage takes a dive. The most famous data point out there was that 909 women in Texas, all of whom worked, were asked to sort of rate their daily activities and what they, you know, what they did during the day and how much they enjoyed doing it. And taking care of their children ranked 16 out of 19 activities, just below housework. So pretty much across the board, these are, you know, single mothers are much less happy than married mothers. Mothers are less happy than fathers. The more kids you have, generally, the less happy you are. These are just general trends within the literature. If you want to know how happiness is defined, that's where I think things get tricky. Because the way that all of these folks, you know, social scientists tend to measure happiness, seems to me most of the measures that they use, depending on the study, is really about moment-to-moment happiness and not about the more existential question you might look at, like whether you think your life is meaningful or has purpose, or say the kind of happiness that one might measure in hindsight, right, which is to say, like, what do you think the total of your life meant?
You've given us a lot to work with, so let's open it up. Jolene, you have the most kids, five.
So I should be the most
depressed.
So you
should be the most depressed.
Right, unless you're single, then you'd be really, really,
really
depressed.
Sad. Yeah, yeah. And also, I think it's worth mentioning, you're the co-founder of a parenting support group called the Mocha Moms, and your kids range in age, and you're married. So what about that? Do you feel that being a parent has made you more or less happy?
I'd say if I were a single parent, she'd be absolutely right. I can't imagine doing this on my own. But having the support of my husband and him being a great dad, it's not really that bad. It's pretty fun most of the time, not all of the time. You really have to define what is parenting. And you have to define what is taking care of children. If you're talking about wiping noses, changing diapers, that's not fun. I mean, it's just not. But if you're talking about, you know, laughing with your kids, doing silly things together, stop always having to be the educator and the disciplinarian. Occasionally enjoy your children, and that makes all the difference.
Just occasionally? Well, is that a job recommendation? Would you recommend this to the uninitiated?
If you spend all your time having fun and no time disciplining when they need it, then you're not going to have fun down the line. Just like Jennifer's article when she mentioned scenarios where the kids are just plain old bad and the parents are so busy trying to be perfect and trying to say, now, one, two, three, and discussing, you know, whether or not this kid's going to be obedient and turn off whatever it is the mother told them to turn off. Just do it. If your kid isn't turning it off and you've asked them to and you know they have to do it, reach over and turn the dial. Move on to the next thing.
Leslie, let's bring you in. You are one of the reasons we called you, obviously, in addition to having three kids, so you should be a little less unhappy than Jolene, according to the is that you're the editor of a book called Mommy Wars, where you talk about some of the internal conflicts that a lot of women have and the cultural expectations and all that. So what's your take on this?
Well, I thought this article was so refreshing because finally there's something about parenting that actually has to do with parents. Because almost everything that's written about parenting has to do with children. And parents really need information about what it's actually like to be a parent. Not what's the best thing to do for your kids, but what's the best, better way to parent. Because that also ultimately is best for your kids. But what I've seen, which really rang true, and what I discovered in writing Mommy Wars, is that American couples delay in general, delay having kids longer than we used to, and we also have fewer kids than we used to. And sort of as a result, we romanticize having kids and raising kids the way women used to romanticize marriage. And so we have these huge expectations for what it's going to be like, and it never lives up to that. And then we try to do it perfectly, and we treat it like it's a competition and a race, and women particularly do this. So it makes it miserable. And I also think one of the unexpected things that happens when you become a mom is that all of a sudden, whether you want to or not, most moms divide moms up into other categories. So it used to be just all women, and now it's women with children, women who work with children, or women who stay home with children, and you're used to looking at women for support, and all of a sudden it becomes a minefield that you don't expect. I think as you become a more experienced parent, my oldest is now 13, so I feel this way, you get tired, you get jaded, you get sick of all of it, and you start to go back to that place where you realize that all women are potentially your friends and that there is a big sisterhood out there if you can tap into it, and it's a lifesaver. But there is this terrible time where it doesn't feel at all that way, and it's a pretty rude awakening.
Hmm. Danny, what about you? You're a single mom. I think it's fair to say you're also definitely on our common sense spectrum here, so you kind of bring it home that way. According to the data, it says single moms are less happy than their married counterparts. And you have two children, so you should be kind of less unhappy.
Yeah, about to kill myself.
On the continuation. Right? what is your take on this when you read this piece? What do you think?
Well, I can speak for myself and three of my other girlfriends. I think we're the opposite of that because we were all married moms who became single moms through divorces, and we were happier because as married moms, we had husbands who weren't doing their share as when it came to the kids. So you had that extra baggage there. So once we got divorced, you know, it was like a weight lifted because I gave birth to those two. I didn't give birth to you. So I'm glad to get rid of that child. I could divorce that one. But we were happier, and then we also supported each other a little more. It was more helpful. But I do understand how some single moms would be depressed because you have a tendency to get lonely. You know, there are limitations on how you can have a relationship now that you're the single mom, or at least for those of us who have decided, you know, I don't necessarily want to be with someone while I'm raising my kids and I still have to deal with my ex-husband. So I can see what they mean by that. But for us, I don't think we were less happier. I just think we were more content. I mean, I know it's probably maybe the same word, but we choose to be content in our situation. We choose to call it happiness. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have to make a choice.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about research on Why Some Parents Hate Parenting. That's the title of a recent piece by Jennifer Senior in New York Magazine. She's with us, along with our regular segment guests, Jolene Ivey, Leslie Morgan Steiner, and Danny Tucker. The article is titled, All Joy and No Fun, Why Parents Hate Parenting. Jennifer, what about that? Is it Danny talked about contentment as opposed to happiness? That makes sense to me. But tell us a little bit more about how people are responding to this piece, and does it mean anything? I mean, one of the things that strikes me is the idea of even having a conversation about happiness, despite the fact that it's in one of our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, is fairly new, that people even think that they're entitled to any happiness.
Absolutely. And it's one of the things that seemed to push some people's hot buttons. You know, a lot of the comments were things like, oh, you self-obsessed, narcissistic mothers who sit there thinking that your children are supposed to make you happy. What did you think? You know, there's a lot of that.
But that's kind of internet hateration.
If you had said to
people, this is how you win the lottery, people would be like, you're selfish and narcissistic. Who told you you're supposed to win the lottery?
It is the nature of, you're absolutely right. I mean, it is a really interesting, it's as much a window into the kinds of, internet culture as it is into the questions themselves. But you get a lot of that, though. And I think that obviously this, I think that being happy started as sort of a boomer preoccupation. I think that then the Xers and the millennials kind of refined it. But I think that something that Jolene said was like super important, too, which is if you defer having children, you're going to notice a very big difference between the before and the after. And it turns out that one of the most interesting meta studies that I looked at discovered that both the most recent generation of parents and also the wealthiest generation of parents were both the least happy. And the reason that the researcher came up with is that in both instances, these are the people who defer child rearing longest, so that they feel it the most acutely. If they've had the kid, they feel like their wings have been clipped, so that, you know, their sense is that their kids have sort of ruined their independence, whereas a different generation might see having a child as an act of independence. They're finally moving out of their parents' house and having a child. So I think that that is a very crucial kind of data point to look at here.
I think that was Leslie who made the point about people delaying child rearing. And so it's so you remember your life before. In fact, I remember a friends of mine who had children earlier than a lot of people in our peer group do. In a sense, they had children right out of college. And he and his wife said, "We don't remember what we used to do. You know, we really don't. We don't remember." But now, guess what? Our kids are still in, you know, pre-K, and his kids are going off to college, and it's woohoo, you know, he and his wife are hanging out again and doing all the stuff that those of us with young children at home aren't doing.
And they're still able-bodied. I mean, they're young and healthy. I mean, it's great.
I know, I've tried to get them to babysit, but for some reason they're not going for it. I just don't understand.
Yeah, isn't it amazing?
But now that we know this, let me ask this. It's a tough question. I apologize. I'm going to put everybody on the spot. If you knew then what you knew now, do you think you'd still have kids?
I'll go first. This is Leslie. I absolutely would have the kids again, even knowing everything that I know, and also thinking that I think the real reason I had kids was just biology, nothing else. I had an intense maternal desire that was biologically driven. But I love my kids and I love having them. And also, you know, sometimes my husband and I think about having another one. And I read articles like this and I'm like, no, don't do it. You're crazy. Stop, stop. But there's still this strong, if I had 100 kids, I'd probably want one more because I'm a woman and I'm a mom. And mostly I really love it. But I also, what I love just as much is articles like this that really admit candidly how incredibly hard it is a lot of the time. And I think it's particularly hard on moms, and I'm glad that people are out talking about it. I think that's good in and of itself.
Danny, what about you?
I'm going to take it a step further. We asked that question to each other, but we also asked, would we have them with the man that we had them with? And I totally agree. I would, with Leslie, do it again, and I would have, believe it or not, and it's going to be crazy, kids with him, because one thing about my two kids, not just being my kids, they are really dynamic people. I like to talk to them. They are very interesting. And to me, they wouldn't be that way if I wasn't their mother and he wasn't their father. So I would do it again. I'll change a little some things we did about it, you know. But I love those two individuals.
Jolene, what about you?
Well, Jennifer's article mentions a study that says that each successive child brings diminishing returns. And for me, it's not that way. I'm really glad I have all five. I wouldn't want even one fewer child than I have. At any given moment, some of my kids are going to make me crazy, okay? But at that same moment, somebody else is going to make me laugh. And what would I do if I only had one child? I'd only have one opportunity to be really angry or really happy in a given day.
Or you'd be on the south of France right now.
You know, I could afford to now that you say it like that. I've never been a materialistic person, so that's cool with me.
Jennifer, what about you? Do you mind if I put you on the spot?
No, not at all. But one thing I was going to say, sure, just in Jolene's case, there are some studies that show that, like, there's diminishing returns with each, but that reaches kind of an asymptote so that at around child four, it starts to not matter anymore. So maybe the distinction, I mean, I've seen some studies that say that. So, you know, the difference between 4 and 17 children is like zero.
Yeah.
So go on, Jolene.
Jolene's going, yeah, absolutely, yeah, I care, yeah.
So,
sure.
You know, really.
Jolene,
yeah,
also collects them, too.
Exactly. She knocked herself out.
She has temporaries, too.
Right.
Well.
So, yeah, that's all the time.
Yeah. Exactly. There's the whole in for a dime, in for a dollar thing. So what I would say is, so, you know, I can't really torture my partner who's already got two from a previous, you know, marriage, and we have one together. So I would certainly want my one again. But the thought experiment I sometimes do is, well, suppose that, like, you know, it were not torture to, you know, make my partner Mark go through this for, you know, like a fourth time. You know, what if he only had the one? Would I want another? And, you know, I think if I were to be honest, what I would say is that I'd want to adopt like a 2-year-old. You know,
Who could drive?
And was potty trained.
That's right. It's really, it's just about recruiting the help in the house. Because I really respond to the idea that, like, you know, you can help somebody. I mean, I'm really intrigued by the idea of adoption. I think it's like the most lovely thing. And I'd love to know that I was doing this kind of mitzvah for somebody. But, like, I was one of these women where the age between, like, 0 and 18 months, I so could have taken or left it. I mean, it just, I felt so much like what so many of my male friends say, which is, you know, I like them when they can start to talk. That was sort of me. So I think my fantasy would be adopt. If I could adopt another, I would. But that'll never happen.
And what about you, Michelle? Can you answer the question, too?
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. I just can't even imagine. I mean, and I do, I was old enough that I could totally remember what I did before, like the theater tickets. I remember exactly where I used to sit.
I ran into you at the theater once.
Huh?
I ran into you at the Kennedy Center
exactly.
once.
Exactly, yeah, which was a distant memory. So, but yeah, no, I co-sign everything that everybody said in terms of appreciating the honesty. But I also think that for some reason, the broader question of what we ask, not just of ourselves, but of others and the society in which we live, is not being asked. And that's one of the things I'm curious about. Why not? You know, why is it that it's only, this isn't collecting stamps? I think it has broader social meaning, and I don't understand why we're never allowed to talk about
that. But maybe that's part of the reason why parents are saying that it's hard and they don't feel validated and they don't feel appreciated. Because you're right, you don't hear people talk at all about that parenting is a really unselfish thing, that we wouldn't have a society and a culture if all of us didn't have kids.
I know. I'm just thinking about somebody who cut his eyes at me at, you know, I was one of those people at the pizza place and kids were, you know, louder than someone else might have preferred. And my attitude is, who do you think is going to do your surgery 20 years from now?
Right.
Who do you think is going to be running your government?
Oh, better yet, how loud were you when you were eating pizza?
Thank you.
People
hello.
People tend to forget.
Right. All right. Jennifer Senior is a writer for New York Magazine. You'll find a link to her article, All Joy and No Fun, Why Parents Hate Parenting, at our website, the Tell Me More page at npr.org. She was with us from our bureau in New York. And here with me in Washington, D.C., our regulars, Jolene Ivey, Leslie Morgan Steiner, and Danny Tucker. Thank you all so much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Michelle.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.